coming up.
And these are young kids. I mean, bottom line, these are young kids. Nobody deserved to die. Nobody, you know, like as the relative said, none of these people should have been there, and none of this should have happened.
For Vault Studios, I'm Will Johnson. You're listening to The Daily Crime.
A Fairfax County jury found 19-year-old Zachary Burkhard guilty, not of murder, but of manslaughter in the deaths of two high school classmates.
Last week in Virginia, a panel of jurors recommended a 20-year prison sentence for a 19-year-old convicted in the deaths of two of his high school classmates, 10 years for each of the teenagers killed. The jury deliberated for nearly 3 days before finding Zachary Burkhard guilty of two counts of manslaughter, shooting and killing two of his teenage classmates back in April of 2021.
The mother of one of the victims collapsed after her son's killer was found guilty, not of murder, but of manslaughter. Weeping, gasping, shaking for long minutes before medics took her to the hospital.
I'm joined now by WUSA 9 reporter Bruce Lachan. Bruce, this is essentially a really tragic story about some teenagers and alleged rival drug gangs in a high school. Is that right?
Yeah, and the thing that has been so shocking to me is that you would have so many kids in high school struggling so much, and that it would turn so violent so quickly. And some of the things that are alleged about the defendant in this case are just crazy. And the ability to go out and buy ghost guns and to arm himself. There's a piece of video that was posted to Snapchat that is just particularly shocking. So, as you say, there was this kind of this back and forth between people who were trying to sell pot, allegedly, according to the defense, at South County High School in Lorton, Virginia, in Fairfax County. And it got pretty heated and pretty competitive. And the defendant apparently was not a very good salesperson. And he was angry, according to his lawyer, about the success that his victims were having in selling. And so he started threatening them, and they threatened back, all this on social media, on Snapchat. And there's this video of the defendant that he posted publicly to Snapchat, waving this ghost gun, a fully automatic handgun that he was able to purchase that's untraceable, waving it around in front of a house that he thought belonged to one of his victims, and uttering the most vile, disgusting things. I mean, I'm looking for a few seconds that I can use on TV, and I can barely find a few seconds that are usable. And then posting it publicly to Snapchat to everybody that was connected to him could see him threatening this guy and challenging him to this fight. So the allegation on the part of the prosecutors is that that's kind of how it started.
This was back in April of 2021. You mentioned this was in Virginia and Fairfax County. What happened on that day? He eventually went to their house or went over to where these guys were, right?
So the four guys show up at this house for what their parents say they thought, and the prosecutors say they thought, was just going to be a fist fight. And they turn up in the morning, four guys, and there's one guy in the garage. And now this is the key thing. You know, we don't know what happened exactly in those seconds inside the garage. There was some kind of fight. According to the defendant, Zachary Burkhard's lawyer, it was four guys jumping on one guy, this friend of Zachary's. According to the prosecutors, it was just a standard fist fight, you know, between two guys, friend of Zachary's, this guy Nick, and Ershin Alasher, whose, you know, parents came from Sudan to avoid violence and, you know, to get away from the violence in Sudan, and then their young son ends up in this thing. So there's a fight. There's actually audio recording of the fight. And according to the police, if you listen to the audio recording, it's pretty clear the fight is over just about the time the recording starts. The fight is lasts for a couple seconds. It's winding down. It's over. And then you hear Zachary Burkhardt step into the garage. And then there's a moment. Are you cool? You cool? You know. And then there's a moment. And then there's one gunshot. And then there's a long pause in the audio. And then there's a second gunshot. And what we do know happened is that Ershin Alasher, who was just 17 years old, was hit twice in the chest, and then the pause, and then Zachary testified in court that two guys came lunging at him even after he had shot Ershin. And he testified, you know, I don't know if you believe it or not, that he tried to shoot between him, and he only figured out later that he had shot this 16-year-old, Calvin Van Pelt, in the back. And Calvin was able to run out of the garage, run down the street. The cops arrived pretty quickly. They found Calvin lying on the pavement. This is all on body cam that was also played in court. Calvin's dying on the sidewalk, you know, down the street. And the officer comes running up to the garage, and Zachary Burkhardt is standing or kneeling over Ershin Alasher. With, you know, like a sweatshirt. And according to the officer, he's trying to save Ershin's life, trying to help him after shooting him in the chest.
Who did the shooting?
Me.
Why?
They were fighting right there. He would not get off.
There's Where's the gun?
Person. I dechambered it. I don't know. I gave it to my friend. He put it somewhere in there.
I have the shooter. He's admitted shooting. He's trying to help the patient that he shot.
Step out here.
Here, I'm going to have to put you in cuffs, dude. Okay. All right, do me a...
I think they kind of came up with a compromise verdict. They deliberated over the course of the jurors of 4 days, you know, for long hours. And they could have found, you know, Zachary was charged with first-degree murder. They could have found he was guilty of first-degree murder. They could have found he was guilty of second-degree murder. Or they could have found he was guilty of voluntary manslaughter. Or, as the defense attorney asked, they could have found that he was not guilty, that the first shooting was justifiable homicide because he was trying to save the life of his friend that was being attacked, and that the second shooting was self-defense, or, you know, whatever. So those are the alternatives, and they settled on this voluntary manslaughter, which suggests there was no malice when he shot and killed these two 16, 17-year-old kids.
Yeah, it's so sad. And you mentioned Ershin's background a little bit and his family. What do we know about Calvin Van Pelt, who's only 16 years old?
Yeah, he was a basketball star, basketball standout at South County High School. His father took the stand in the penalty phase, just weeping, talking about how he was a leader, a guy who other kids just, you know, were drawn magnetically to this kid. And they, all these kids who, some of them, you know, didn't have any money, didn't know where they were going to eat, would end up at Calvin's house. He would invite them over, and his parents would feed them. And, you know, Calvin would come home sometimes with no shoes because he'd given somebody shoes because he felt like they didn't have decent shoes. His father was just crying on the stand, talking about how his family's not the same since Calvin was killed. So that was the kind of kid they said he was. The thing the prosecutor says is that it just shows how corrosive social media can be, to young people, and this thing that might have been a simple beef, you know, settled with words or a little bit of pushing or shoving or whatever, ends up ending in the death of these two teenagers and Zachary Burkhardt, you know, looking at as long as 20 years in prison. You know, it's manslaughter, but the jury has just recommended that he do 10 years time for each of these murders, and the judge is going to decide whether that's consecutive or concurrent, whether he serves those two 10-year sentences at the same time or one after the other for as long potentially as 20 years in prison.
It has all these elements of these modern-day pitfalls of social media, of a threat on Snapchat, and then that escalates and tensions just rising and leading into a real life confrontation that turned deadly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people could hide behind the screen. Things, you know, get more and more angry. And when it finally does, if it does end up in real life, these are the potential consequences. And the other thing that's really important in this case, according to the prosecutor, is these ghost guns. You know, Zachary was 18 years old. He was able to buy a ghost gun that's untraceable. He bought a shotgun as well, and he armed himself with both of those, according to him, because he was, you know, worried about this potential of Ershin and his one-way crew coming and attacking him. Prosecutors paint that obviously differently, but the ghost gun's untraceable. If he hadn't, you know, stayed on the scene, and I mean, in this case, police detectives obviously could solve this even if he'd fled, but because people knew who was doing it and it was all posted online. But there are clearly crimes that are committed with ghost guns that are very difficult for police to solve.
Bruce, this was a murder trial, but this issue of alleged drug rings and a gang called the One Way Gang was presented in court at the trial. Can you talk about how much that was discussed?
Some friends of Ershin's told me he was, the One Way was really just a t-shirt company, or, you know, they were selling clothes, and that it was also a philosophy. And there's actually a podcast with Ershin talking about, you know, not getting violent and not getting in conflict and moving your understanding to the fifth dimension. Pretty remarkable stuff for a 17-year-old kid to be talking about in a podcast. So, you know, as is the case in a lot of these trials where you have two different, very different pictures that are drawn by the different sides about the individuals involved. And there's a, you know, whole different picture of Zachary that's put out there. You know, they got a lot of chance to talk about this in the penalty phase, where the jurors actually considered what the sentence should be. And Zachary was adopted at 5 days old, according to his aunt, his adopted aunt. His birth mother had a drug addiction problem, and he'd been born to a birth mom who was drug addicted, and that may have had serious consequences for his development. And then when Zachary was 6 years old, his adopted father was killed by a drunk driver in a crash that Zachary, his adopted mom, and his adopted dad were all hit by a drunk driver at 81 miles an hour. And Zachary, according to his aunt and according to neighbors, never recovered from the death of his father. So there are a lot of things, a lot of moving parts here.
Just a sad case at the end of the day. Bruce LaShannon, WSA9 in Washington, D.C. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to The Daily Crime. If you haven't already, check out the newest podcast from Vault Studios. It's called Intent, the Tex MacIver Case, available wherever you listen to podcasts. For The Daily Crime, I'm Will Johnson.